Hey there, podcast friends. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, and it is my pleasure to welcome you to the 168th episode of Wisdom from Above. The goal of Wisdom from Above is to go beyond the reasoning of man to the revelation of God. God reveals himself generally through his creation, supernaturally through his son Jesus, and specifically through his holy word, the Bible. The Wisdom from Above podcast digs into the Bible, discovers truths from the Bible, and drives those biblical truths home to our hearts and lives. I'm especially excited today because this is the first episode of season number 11 for Wisdom from Above. This 11th season, we will be investigating biographical sketches of men and women that are revealed in Hebrews chapter 11. Many folks refer to Hebrews chapter 11 as the Hall of Faith, and that is the title I've chosen for this 11th season of Wisdom from Above. Season 11, the Hall of Faith. There are two aspects of bull riding. The first aspect is easy. You just sit down. But the next aspect is hard. You have to try to stay on. Well, there are two aspects of faith. The first aspect is easy. It's justification. The next aspect is hard. It is sanctification. For justifying faith, it's easy because it is a gift. For sanctifying faith, it is hard because it's a battle. Justifying faith is trusting what Christ has done for you. Sanctifying faith is trusting what Christ can do in you and through you. For justifying faith, God is like an obstetrician enabling spiritual birth. For sanctification, God is like a pediatrician encouraging spiritual growth. Justifying faith is an act, a once-for-all act. Sanctifying faith is an activity, a daily activity. Justifying faith, we are saved by grace through faith. Sanctifying faith, we are sanctified by trusting and obeying. The result of justifying faith is entrance into heaven. The result of sanctifying faith is inheritance in heaven. Before we turn to Hebrews, I want to share a brief challenge from Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you have received Christ, so walk ye in him. As you receive Christ, that was by justifying faith, so walk ye in him, that is sanctifying faith. Excuse me. We come to Christ by faith alone, and then we follow him and walk with him by faith and obedience. Faith relates to marriage and family, children and church, past and present, walk and talk, home and work, tragedies and triumphs, attitudes and actions. The book of Hebrews was written to encourage and to inspire living by faith. The recipients of this letter had been justified, but they needed to be sanctified. The book of Hebrews was written to Jews who had turned to Christ and trusted in Christ as their own personal Savior, but were being persecuted, even executed, ostracized and criticized, ridiculed and rejected. And the book of Hebrews was designed to encourage them to hold up instead of fold up, to stand up instead of falling down. Their response? Well, some held on to their faith. while others departed from their faith. Many of the believers addressed in the book of Hebrews were focused on their troubles and trials. They had taken their eyes off of Jesus. They were no longer walking by faith. They were just walking by sight. They had become disillusioned and discouraged and depressed. They had a tremendous need for faith, and so do we. Remember Peter, when he was stepping out in faith to walk on water? He took his eyes off of Jesus. He focused on the storm, and he began to sink. We need to walk by faith. We need to avoid focusing on the storms of life. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have a tremendous need of faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 talks about that faith. By God's grace, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will investigate Hebrews chapter 11. And God will encourage our faith and inspire our faith. Check out Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The author starts this chapter with the word now. What has the author of Hebrews been saying? Well, we must take a moment to look back before we look forward. Therefore, we're going to go back and pick up the context by examining Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 39. And there are three major challenges in these verses. First, verses 32 to 34. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So those three verses are telling us, don't forget. It's a call to remember victories. As we're told in Psalm 103, don't forget all his benefits. God has been good and gracious and loving and encouraging, and he has blessed us. And he has given us victories in difficult times, and we should not forget those. Remember the victories. Far too many Christians have minds that are very clear on trials and troubles, but very foggy on blessings and benefits. This is a dangerous thing. It causes an attitude that is negative, a tongue that is grumbling, a heart that is discouraged, and a face and personality that is sour. Don't forget the continual daily blessings and the rich eternal benefits that we have from our loving Heavenly Father. Friends, if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, you already have some amazing victories under your belt. The victory over the devil and death at the cross of Jesus. The victory over the penalty of sin and the guilt of sin. The victory over the brevity of life and the fear of death. You see, we are more than conquerors through Christ. He leads us on from victory to victory. And so, these first three verses are a call to remember victories. Don't forget. Then we come to the next three verses, 35, 36, and 37. The author writes, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. The challenge here is don't give up. Don't give up. This is a call to remain bold. The first call was don't forget, a call to remember victories. This is don't give up. It's a call to remain bold. We need to be bold and courageous. Be strong and courageous. As Joshua was told, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He says, you have need of endurance in verse 36. Why? Because the testing of your faith will produce endurance. If endurance is the product, a testing of the faith is the process. And you cannot have the product without the process. So don't go weary. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. The California coast was shrouded in fog that 4th of July morning, 1952. 21 miles to the west on Catalina Island, a 34-year-old woman waded into the water and began swimming toward California, determining to be the first woman to do so. Her name was Florence Chadwick, and she had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. The water was numbing cold that July morning, and the fog was so thick she could hardly see the boats in her own party. Millions were watching on national television. Several times, sharks, which had gotten too close, had to be driven away with rifles to protect the lone figure in the water. As the hours ticked off, she swam on. Fatigue had never been her big problem in these swims. It was the bone-chilling cold of the water. More than 15 hours later, numbed with the cold, she asked to be taken out. She couldn't go on. Her mother and her trainer alongside in a boat told her they were near land. They urged her not to quit. But when she looked toward the California coast, all she could see was the dense fog. A few minutes later, at 15 hours and 55 minutes, she was taken out of the water. It wasn't until hours later, when her body began to thaw, that she felt the shock of failure. To a reporter, she blurted out, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen land, I might have made it." She'd been pulled out only a half mile from the California coast. She'd already swum 20 and a half miles. Later, she was to reflect that she had been licked not by fatigue or even by the cold. The fog alone had defeated her because it obscured her goal. It had blinded her reason, her eyes, and her heart. It was the only time that Florence Chadwick ever quit. 2 months later, she swam that same channel, and again fog obscured her view. But this time she swam with her faith intact. Somewhere behind that fog was land. Not only was she the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel, but she even beat the men's record by some 2 hours. Wow. Ultimately, for all of us, there are trials of faith. Not trials of our family or our job or our studies or our finances. In reality, what they are trials of our faith. Like Florence Chadwick, we must learn to live by faith. A strong, tested faith will help enable us to endure. The Greek word for endure is made up of 2 words, hupo and mone. Hupo means under, and mone means to abide. So we have the idea of abiding under, to hold up under a load, to stand up under pressure, to be patient under fire. Faith is like a muscle. It needs to be tested. It needs to be exercised. It needs to be stressed. If it isn't, it will atrophy. If it is tested, it will be strengthened and will produce the ability to endure. Let me share a few examples of men I have known who were under fire. One was taken for thousands of dollars by a man who said, "I know you're a Christian." So he felt like he could take advantage of them, and he wouldn't retaliate. One had his business undermined by a crooked partner. Another had thousands of dollars and weeks of time taken with no recourse. Another had his business broken into and torched, burned. Yet another was offered fantastic monies and benefits to break his word. These men stood up under pressure. These men lived by faith. Notice again from verses 38 and 39. Who? The just. What? Shall live. How? By faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is the way you get eternal life. You're trusting in what Christ has already done. Excuse me. And faith is the way you live the Christian life. You're trusting Christ to work in you and through you. Interestingly, a life lived by faith brings pleasure to the Lord. Think about it. You can bring joy and delight to the heart of the Lord God. How? By living a life of faith. Do you know it? Yes. Are you convinced? Yes. Do you do it? Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Why? Well, perhaps you find yourself saying, I just can't do it. I just can't handle the pressure. It's too much. It's too big. It's too hard. Well, sad to say, you're right. You can't. But with God's help, you can. With God, all things are possible. So do not lose heart. Do not grow weary. This is a call to remain bold. Don't give up. Now we come to the third challenge in verses 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The challenge here, don't shrink back. This is a call to renew faith. This passage presents two very distinct possibilities. Either doubt and destruction, or faith and preservation. Let me give you a word picture. Think of your faith as being like a car. There are two very distinct possibilities. Salt and deterioration, or wax and preservation. Rusty and broken down, or shiny and mint condition. The same is true of faith. What will it be for you? When are you going to stop running and start resting? When are you going to stop fearing and start trusting? Think about your trial or trouble. Sure, it's big. Sure, it's tough. But is it bigger than God? No. You've got to say no. Is it bigger than you? Yes, sure it is. God designed it that way. He wants us to learn to lean on Him. When I was a youngster, we used to sing a song about this. It went something like this. Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. George Mueller, a man of great faith, said, God delights to increase the faith of His children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory and no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means. I say it, and say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. So we have three challenges here. Don't forget, remember victories. Don't give up, remain bold. And don't shrink back, renew your faith. Don't forget. Don't give up. Don't shrink back. Because God is here for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him. Because He cares for you. As Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are loaded down with care, and I will give you rest." What a fantastic promise. Ultimately, we have two choices. One, carry your load by yourself and experience worry and fret and doubt and stress and fear. Or two, cast your load on the Lord and experience rest and peace and assurance and help and comfort. Larnell Harris sings it this way. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in trying, but in trusting, that we find our strength in the Lord. The author of the book of Hebrews makes his choice. Up until now, he has been presenting the challenge saying, "You all, you all, you all." Verse 32, "You all endured a great conflict of suffering." Verse 34, "You all accepted joyfully the seizure of your property." Verse 36, "You all have need of endurance." But now, the author speaks with a bold confidence and says, "We." This is an editorial "we." He assumes that the readers have a heart like his. He assumes that deep down, they too want to please their Lord and Savior. And he says in verse 40, "We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preservation of the soul." Jesus is calling you right now. Will you trust him in the dark times? Will you trust him in the difficult days? Will you trust him in the trials? Will you live by faith? Will you commit your life to him? Will you lean on him? If you will, the joy and the fellowship will be unbelievably fantastic. As songwriter Elisha Hoffman put it, "What a fellowship! What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms! What a blessedness! What a peace is mine! Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms." Let me pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can turn to you and we can trust in you. We can call on you. And we can count on you. Help us to remember the victories you've given us in the past. Inspire us to remain bold in the present. Enable us to renew faith in you for the future. We're so grateful that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. We're grateful that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. We're grateful that we can lean on you and we can become all you want us to be through Christ. Oh, Lord God, we love you. We adore you. We bow down before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for carving out the time to listen to Wisdom from Above. I hope and pray that God is using these podcasts in a powerful way to impact your life and the lives of the people you share these truths with. Thank you for encouraging others to listen to the Wisdom from Above podcast. I genuinely appreciate your help in growing the outreach of these podcasts. We're being listened to in over 50 different countries around the world. And I praise God for that because I know that God's word is alive and powerful and life-changing and never returns to him empty-handed. This is Dr. Harlan Betts wishing you a great week and God's blessings. Thank you for joining me in this passionate quest for wisdom from above.